So I'm going to bring Todd and Papa Don up here, and they're going to share some things from their heart and just welcome them as they stand before us.
Thank you so much, Pastor Jimmy. Aren't you all blessed to have these pastors? That's amazing. Y'all don't know. I mean, maybe you do, but there's, you know, I've literally was just around the world these last few weeks, and you have something very special here at the Bridge Church. A lot of people have the language of family, but don't have the experience of family. And what I've experienced, this is family. And many churches, it's a bunch of, you know, spectators and some rock star preacher, and that's very Greek oriented. And this is more Hebraic. This is more, you know, like the roots of our faith, where it's family. And even though, you know, it's a good-sized church, there's just that feeling of this is family. And so I just want to honor you all and your contribution to that and your participation. But I know the speed of the leader, the speed of the church. And so I just want to honor especially the Pruitts and the Mandels. It's a blessing for us to be here. And, of course, I want to honor Papa Don Finto. You know, I mean, you could say 96. That sounds crazy, but it also is amazing when you think he was born in 1930. Isn't that wild? I mean, it's amazing. And he's going to Israel, and who wants to go with Don and I this October or next spring? You're welcome. Please come. But I really love Papa Don just to speak a blessing. And by the way, before we forget, he has written a few books, and we have a couple of them left. There's just a few out there for suggested donation of $10. And if you don't have the $10, just suggest something else. Yeah. We'll take a different suggestion. So these are the books. And then Papa Don, go ahead and bless the people of God.
Amen. Amen. Well, let me start off with apostolic blessings. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you will overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. I love that passage in Romans 15:13. And if you overflow with hope, you're going to slosh hope everywhere around you. And I pray for that. And may God, out of his glorious riches, strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ can dwell in your heart through faith. And you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the saints, to grasp how wide, long, high, deep is the love of God, and to know that love that surpasses knowledge, so that you can be filled to all the measure of the fullness of Jesus. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all that we can ask, think, dream, or imagine, according to his power at work in us who believe, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations, forever and ever. And the one blessing in Scripture that is worded by the Almighty himself to be prayed over people. Lord bless you and keep you. Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. And if you'll allow me to chant it like it's chanted in the synagogues in the original, Yevarechach Adonai v'yishmerecha, Ya'eh Adonai panav alecha v'chonecha, Yisa Adonai panav alecha v'yishem lecha shalom. B'shem Yeshua HaMashiach, Sar Shalom, in the name of Jesus, the Messiah, the Prince of Peace. And the congregation said, amen.
Amen. Wow. Thank you, Papa Don. So with that, have a great Sunday. We're finished. I tell you what, that was definitely the benediction. Praise God. You know, Don actually, that's cantering the song, the way he did that in the Hebrew at the end. He does it better than most Jewish rabbis. Serious, I've heard dozens. He does it the best. He was a worship leader in the Church of Christ. They had a quartet and would travel all around the circuit of Churches of Christ. Back then, worship leader was, you know, four-part harmony, no instruments. But see, he still got it, the anointing. It's amazing. Well, it's a blessing to be able to be with you today. I actually was praying earlier, last service, I felt this word. Well, I got a different word this service. So I'm just going to step out in faith and just share just for a moment, because I would just, you know, feel God's heart for you. And I'm really here to serve what God is doing with you all and not, you know, bring my own agenda, although I was invited to bring the agenda that I do carry, so I won't hold back on that. But initially, I just felt this word out of John 11. I'll just read it. In John 11, 25, and that's when Jesus went and where Lazarus was dead and in the tomb, and, you know, Mary and Martha were like, how come you didn't come? And, you know, how come he would have been alive if you came earlier? And then Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet he shall live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? And that was the question Jesus asked. And I just, as I was pondering, like, why would the Lord have brought that to my mind? I had a sense that some of you may have experienced something that died. And it could be a promise, something you've been waiting for fulfillment, or something you were expecting to bear fruit, or, you know, some kind of business or some kind of, something you're waiting for fruition, you know, some kind of inheritance or something that you've been expecting to have provision and blessing, and, or it could actually be literally someone that you love that did pass away, or something, even, you know, I don't know, I don't want to have a lot of conjecture here, but even like some, you know, whatever is precious to you, anything that has died. And, I was sensing like the Lord just wants to bring hope. And sometimes we can, you know, be spiritual about things like, yeah, well, God's good anyway, but he knows our hearts. And I just felt this is not just saying, you know, a Hallmark card saying, well, it'll be okay, honey. You know, it'll be okay. Just buck it up, brother. No, this is Jesus saying, when you believe in him, you never die. Like, there is no such thing as death for us. Death has lost its sting. And I want to just say that we need to acknowledge, like, in our hearts to say, that's painful. Something did die. But I just feel like the Lord this morning is saying, I am the resurrection. I want to give you and the life. I want to resurrect where there's been death. And that's what he did with Lazarus. He resurrected Lazarus when they thought it was done. And I just feel like he wants to resurrect things that maybe seem like they have died. So I don't know if that's anyone in this room or anyone online, but I just want to pray for you. That the Lord would just give you, and not just like an attitude adjustment. I actually want to pray for something to be released this morning, like an impartation of resurrection power in your life. Are you open to that? I don't know if anyone, this relates to anyone, but just let's just all open our hearts. So Jesus, we thank you for your word that's living and active, that is sharper than a two-edged sword, that I just pray the word of the Lord this morning would set us free. And anyone who has had hope deferred, that feels like there's been a death to a vision or death to a promise, death to a hope, And I sense even some of you had expected a type of a breakthrough in a business deal or an inheritance or some kind of financial or material provision. And I just want, I felt the Lord saying, look to Jesus. He is the resurrection and the life. And so, Lord, I ask for resurrection power in the name of Jesus right now. And I pray for hearts that may have grown, where it says the hope deferred makes the heart sick. I pray for resurrection in the heart of hope again. Not hoping against hope in our soul, but I pray for Holy Spirit resurrection anointing to believe for what is unseen and to be sure of what you hope for in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Believe what's unseen and be sure of what you hope for. And that is how we walk in faith. So I pray for faith to be restored and renewed and resurrected in hearts this morning. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I just pray, if that's you, I just am excited because the Lord, he wouldn't just bring that to my mind just for a nice pat on the back. He wants to do something miraculous. And I would love, I have expectation. He calls things that are not as though they are. He creates out of nothing. So let's just believe. Amen. Okay. Well, this morning I have the honor of being able to share in regards to Israel and in regards to the Jewish people, in regards to the roots of our faith. And as I was preparing this, I was reminded how what a beautiful season it is for us in America to have this 250th anniversary of our nation being birthed. My granddaughter was born on 4th of July 2 years ago, and I was able to be there. It was in the middle of the night. My daughter's so, like, pretty close to my wife and I. She like, Dad, come in the room, sit on the couch. Well, I'm like, I'm not sure I'm supposed to do this, you know. she's my only girl, and she's just like a daddy's girl. So I'm like, is this okay? Like, anyway, I did leave when it got really gnarly. She's so social. She's like, are you guys doing okay over there in between contractions and stuff? Yeah, she's amazing, and she's so bold. She's this personal trainer, really strong, really bold, worship leader, preacher. She's amazing. Married a highway patrol officer, and he's amazing. I was afraid she'd never meet a guy strong enough to be her husband. You know? She intimidated all the guys. Every guy was so intimidated, and this guy, he's just a dream because he's not intimidated. But he's super sweet, super amazing. But my beautiful granddaughter, Riley, was born on the 4th of July. So I just, even that, just this honor, this celebration of what God did in birthing this nation, how sovereign it was, how there was a move of God, the revival connected to our independence. And you see these movies coming out, Great Awakening, a month and a half ago. I saw a young Washington this last week, and I'm just like marveling at the orchestration of God and how we as Americans have the privilege to honor our forefathers, that we are experiencing the beauty and the fruit in Fredericksburg, all the abundance and the provision and the freedom and all the, you know, economic, religious, social, political freedom we have because of the sacrifice of our forefathers and the death, the service, and fighting for this nation over all the generations. You know, my grandparents, you know, fought in World War II, and my father fought in Vietnam, and my nephew gave his life, you know, just about 5 years ago in the Army. And, you know, I'm in a different army. I'm in the army with the kingdom of God, bringing the gospel. But there's something of honoring our founding as a nation that's really, really good. It's really right. And the government, yeah, amen, amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. It is amazing. You know, I am super grateful I'm an American. There's an anointing on America. You know, every nation has gifts and anointings and callings. And, you know, when I was in New York and by Newark, there's the Statue of Liberty. And, you know, it was kind of a gift from the French, a little snubbing the British, you know, like, hey, you're free from the British. Here, we'll give you a gift. Just like we are free from the British. But jokes aside, when I was standing there, the Lord just downloaded, said, Todd, this is the destiny of America. And I was looking up and, you know, was with my son. We were on a layover. I ran over there with my son to show him, and we on the little island there. And the guide was just saying, well, look, the Statue of Liberty is stepping out from, you know, into the Atlantic Ocean. Like, it's her foot stepping out to go out from America, bringing liberty, this flaming liberty, bringing freedom out. And then the seven stars represent the seven seas all over the earth. So bringing this freedom to the whole earth. And I felt like God said, that is the destiny of America. There's an apostolic call to bring the gospel to the whole earth as Americans. And history has shown that there's more missionaries in all world history have been sent from America. And the enemy has tried to shut that down, tried to get the church to be frozen and, you know, to be insular and or to be lukewarm and just assimilating in. But there's congregations like the Bridge that are saying, no, we're going to be red hot on fire, full of life and full of love, and we're going to receive blessing and release blessing. And there's just it's amazing to be an American and to live in America. It's beautiful. But I want this morning us to go back further in our history as believers. And as much as it's so appropriate and right and healthy for us to honor our forefathers and our nation, I want to encourage us, let's go back further. As believers, let's honor the forefathers of our faith. Our faith didn't start when there was religious freedom in America. You know, the pilgrims came so we wouldn't all have to be under the state church in Great Britain, so that we could have freedom to worship God without the state religion and Anglican. And here we are. But it didn't start there. It didn't start when some of you came out of whatever background your families were in and you ended up at the Bridge and it's like, this is amazing. It's family. It's the word of God. It's not a bunch of religious do's and don'ts and comparing how spiritual you are. This is like raw, authentic, just live life, live the word, love each other, love God, and walk in community. Like, it didn't start then. It didn't start at the cross, even. Salvation by faith through the grace of God started at the cross. But our family of faith didn't start there. It started 4,000 years ago with a man named Abram in the Ur of Chaldeans, southern Iraq. And God spoke to him and he listened. And God said, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to make your name great. I'm going to make you a nation. And all the families of the earth will be blessed through you. And he believed God. God said, I'm going to give you descendants like the stars, even though your wife is barren. And he believed God. And God said he credited it to him as righteousness, his faith. And Paul says in Romans 4, all of us are children of Abraham. Because of his faith. It's before the law, before circumcision, before anything of works, he believed God, and God said, you're righteous because you believe, just like we believe in Jesus, and we get righteousness from our faith in Jesus. Abraham's the first one. And there's something so appropriate to honor the forefather of our faith. Just like honoring Papa Don is so appropriate. There's something that just, it brings alignment to a family when you honor the fathers and mothers. And so I want to encourage us today, my prayer is that you would get this heart to want to honor the forefathers of our faith. And as the Bible speaks about this, there's a metaphor Paul uses, and it's about a tree, an olive tree, and being grafted in and not replacing this tree. It didn't start with us. And so there's this mindset in a lot of the body of Christ, most of the body of Christ, it's not purposeful, but it's ignorant. Basically, the thought is we are the church replaced Israel at the cross. And we have, like, there's the statements, you know, New Testament Christianity, just Jesus. And yes, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through him. But this family of faith began 4,000 years ago. And we didn't replace this family of faith. We're grafted in. So let's look at what Paul says about that. We'll start with Romans 11, 16 to 18. It says, he's talking about two metaphors. First, he talks about dough. He says, if the dough offered as first fruits is holy, so is the whole lump. And then he mentions this whole thing about roots. And think about the root analogy. If the root is holy, so are the branches. So the root of our faith, the root that goes back to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to the Jewish people, that root is still holy. Because they were chosen out of love, and their faith was what God said, you're righteous because of your faith. Not the law. It wasn't diminished at the cross. It was continued. This root of faith, this tree of faith. And then Paul goes on to talk about Jewish people that did not believe in Jesus can no longer be in this tree of faith, right? We have to, Jewish people as well as Gentiles, have to believe in Jesus to be part of this olive tree. So it says, if some of the branches were broken off, the Jewish non-believers after the cross, and you, Gentiles, you know, from the nations, you, although a wild olive shoot, were grafted in among the others. We're grafted in among the Jewish people who are believing in Jesus. There's always been a remnant of Jewish believers from the time of Abraham till today. That tree of faith has always had this root from the patriarchs through and all the way till today. The Jewish people have been a part of that tree. And we have been grafted in among them. And we share in the nourishing sap. We didn't replace the sap. We didn't say, God's done with you. It's our turn now. We're with them. Instead of replacement theology, I like to say addition theology. We were added and being grafted in. It says, so we're sharing the nourishing root of the olive tree. Don't be arrogant toward the branches. Don't think you're better than non-believing Jewish people. Don't think God's finished with them. Don't put them down. If you are, remember, and this is the line of the kind of the thesis of this morning's message. Remember, it is not you who support the root, but the root that supports you. Many Gentiles, we think, hey, it's me and Jesus. He's the way, the truth, and the life. I'm a child of God, co-heir with Christ. Let's go. New Testament Christian right here. Let's go. And that's fine, yes. But remember, you don't support the root. You're dependent on the root that was established by the faith of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and the children of Israel all the way till today. There's a posture of humility, a posture of gratefulness, a posture of honor, just like we honor our forefathers in this nation. We're not diminishing who we are and who we are in God. We're not being subservient or putting ourselves down. And just like this metaphor, the branches, you all carry fruit because you're grafted into this root, right? So each of us carry a measure of glory of God. You know, Scripture says that all the kings, all the nations of the earth will bring their glory to Jesus in eternity future in New Jerusalem. So each of us, we are created in the image of God. Each of us have a different fingerprint. We each carry a unique aspect of who God is that no one else in all world history carries. Is that amazing? That's why we need each other. You are a reflection of God. When it says he created you in his image, that is true. Let me add something. I'm adding some things in this service. There's something that's beautiful. You know, I'm going to make a point. Jesus is Jewish. He's a Jewish man. Looks Jewish. Has scars in his hand. He's fully God, fully man. I'm going to go into that point in a moment. But I want to make this other point. Because you're created in the image of God, do you know that God looks black? Do you know that God looks, you know, like an islander? He looks like a South American. He looks like a European. He looks like an Asian. Because we are all created in his image. So we all look like God in whatever creative ways. You know, some are more fearfully than wonderfully made, but we're all fearfully and wonderfully made. No, I'm just kidding. We all carry the glory of God, and that is when we're grafted in to the root, we carry unique fruit. And we need to honor and celebrate the diversity of fruit. You know, the greatest unity never comes from unanimity. Communism got it all wrong. Socialism got it all wrong. You know, I was in China years ago, about 20 years ago, teaching the underground church, and I was like shocked. There was no birds. And they said, oh, yeah, because someone told the emperor, like, you know, 20 years earlier, that birds were beautiful. They made that comment. And because in communism, nothing can stand out. Nothing can be beautiful. Everything has to be base and just kind of nothing special. We all have to be the same and just everyone wear gray. And because they're beautiful, everyone killed all the birds in China. Do you know that? It's terrible. Is that demonic or what? But that's the end. That's this world. And we need to be ready, by the way, for crazy things to be happening with what's going on in the world. But we need to shine like stars in the universe, as Philippians says. And let the glory of God out of your life. Because we need you. We need your expression of the glory of God. It's beautiful. All right, so I want to get back to this whole picture of being grafted in, as Paul uses that analogy. And I was preparing this, and I was investigating the wine industry because I thought, here I am coming to Fredericksburg. Y'all are like the second biggest wine industry in the States. Is that right? And soon to be the first, according to Jimmy. He has faith for Fredericksburg, let me tell you that. But I was looking, and it shocked me. The statistics are that 85% of all the wine industry globally uses root stock that is not the same as the vines. 85% of all the wine industry, the vines are grafted in to a unique root stock. Just like we are grafted into this root this olive tree, this root of that goes back to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So it's amazing. What's more amazing, well, one of the aspects of the rootstock actually gives the character to the grapes and gives even some of the taste and the style to the grapes. So it actually influences the fruit. And similarly, we should have some influence from looking at our Hebraic roots and our Jewish roots, and even looking at Scripture and looking, going to Israel and just seeing this is Jesus' land and where he grew up. Like this, there's community. The even the Hebrew language, in the Hebrew language, the way it's the way you interpret it should inform us how we should live. It's very much not dualistic. It's very holistic, where if you believe something, it means you do it. There's nothing in Hebrew where you can know something and not be living it. If you don't live it, you don't really know it. That's Greek, where you can have a mental assent and never do it. And so we should be informed by our roots. But the thing that's crazy was, I was studying about this, the history of this whole rootstock, it popped up as I was studying it, that in 1868, there was this horrible epidemic with the wine industry in Europe, where it nearly wiped out all the wine vines in Europe, all the vineyards, in the roots and the leaves and everything. It was an aphid, this little bug called the phylloxera. And that aphid actually came from North America. And so there was a delegation from France that came across on boats in the 1800s, came to the States, and they met with this horticulturist. His name was Thomas Volney Munson. And they met him in Denison, Texas, part of the hill country of Texas. And they found that the rootstock in the hill country of Texas, because of the limestone soil that was so hard for rootstock to get, had to be hardy enough, that it actually was resistant to that aphid, phylloxera. And so they took the rootstock from the hill country of Texas back to France, and it saved the whole global wine industry. Is that amazing? Like, what? I couldn't believe it. I'm reading this going, I'm going to preach there. This is awesome. My goodness. So there's no excuse. You have no excuse to forget this message, because every time you drive past a winery, remember. Because even till today, the rootstock from Texas is the dominant rootstock for the global wine industry today. Still. From the hill country of Texas. Isn't that wild? So think of that. The Bordeaux, the Chiantis, the Pinot Noir, all the French and Italian wines have hill country Texas rootstock. So I want you to remember this Jewish roots of our faith. We don't have to be Jewish. We're not Jewish. Diversity is super important for unity. God wants all of us to walk in the, like I said, the glory that he's given each one of our families. And so the fruit in our lives needs to be genuine and personal. And we need to not try to copycat each other, right? We need to be who you are. But we need to understand there's a rootstock that I need to honor that's not me. I'm grafted into this, and I get all my nutrients from that. And I am free from sin, the flesh and the enemy, because I'm grafted in, just like those aphids cannot attack me because I'm grafted into this rootstock. Amen? Amen. So we're just going to look in Romans 11, 28, 29, jumping ahead for the one doing the slides. I want to talk about the bottom line today is to honor the root. To honor the root. Just like we honor the forefathers in our nation, there's something we don't exalt like the Jewish people or Israel's greater than anybody else. It's just we honor. It's good to give honor where honor's due. And when the forefathers who pioneered this faith in the one true God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and kept the faith in the one true God alive for 2,000 years. That was the family that preserved the faith in the one true God. We're grafted into that family. We need to honor that family. My family, from Scottish and Irish background, were painting their faces blue and running around in the middle of the night worshiping sticks and stones. That's the Scottish heritage I have. The Jewish people kept the faith in one true God for 2,000 years and have continued since then, the past 2,000 years, for 4,000 years. We're grafted into this family. We need to honor our forefathers. So we look in Romans 11, 28 and 29, and it's talking about the Jewish people again and some that are not believers. The majority still are not believers, and it's God's call on us to bring them back home into the family. But Romans 11, 28, 29 says, as regards to the gospel, they're enemies for your sake. For your sake, they're enemies. They, God's, you know, hardened their hearts, and they resisted the gospel, but it was for our sake, so the gospel would go to the nations. But as regards to election, or God choosing them, they are beloved because of the sake of their forefathers. God chose them, chose Abraham, and he still loves them because he still has that same love for Abraham. We need to get God's heart and honor and love for the firstborn. Do you see that? It's really important, and I was sharing this. I have three sons and one daughter. As I mentioned, my daughter, she's like an only child. She's just a strong daughter. My sons are all afraid of her. She's the oldest, and they're big guys, you know, and they still get intimidated by Mandy. And when she comes by, they're just like, because she would just throw them around. I mean, she came home, and she's like, punched me in the arm, like full-on punch, just for fun. I'm like, I have not been punched like for 10 years by any guy that hard. She's just this force of life. But anyway, my sons, so I have my oldest is more introverted and more like my wife. And then my middle son is actually really bold, fearless, charismatic. He's a little more, I can relate to him more. And then my youngest is just the sweetest. And the whole family knows he's my wife's favorite. And you're not supposed to have favorites. He is. But I was treating my middle son just because he had more ambition, and I was affirming him and kind of championing him more. Like I was teaching them to surf in Hawaii, and he's just like, "Let's go!" So I'm like, really affirming him, and I was kind of treating him like the oldest, like because he was just more ambitious and strong and fearless. And the kids were, my boys were just fighting constantly. Tension, anger. And I was like, what do I do? And I was trying all the discipline. You know, it was out of control. And the Lord said, you need to honor your firstborn son in front of the brothers. I was like, really? So I just started saying, and I'd say it not in a kind of a weird way, but I'd say, Micah, you're my firstborn son. Could you do this? And giving him leadership and just honor and just honoring him in front of the brothers. And crazy thing that happened, there was just a unity with the brothers.
was like the right alignment happened in the family. And it brought peace. Even to this day, I'm really close to my oldest son now. He's the only one that stayed near me. Thank God he's like my wife. He didn't take off. The other three are just all over the world. But I'm so close to Micah. We walk by each other. We have to stop and give each other a hug almost every single time. Just love him. But the Lord's, when he was about, 9, 10 is when the Lord said, you need to align, honor him as the firstborn. And there's something about us honoring the firstborn children of God that brings alignment into the family. And I think sometimes when we get so focused on our own, faith and our own lives, and it's similar like as Americans, you're like, no, it's about me and my business, and I'm moved to Fredericksburg to get a little edge on this and this, and we get so self-focused, and we forget the founding fathers and what the sacrifice, and when we honor, it helps put our life in perspective and gives us a gratefulness. And gives us a sense of longevity. We're a part of something beyond ourselves. Similarly with Israel and with the Jewish people, it's so good for us to humble ourselves and honor. Amen? And I believe it will bring alignment and blessing in the family. So we understand in Genesis 12, 2-3, God spoke to Abraham, just said, I'm going to make you a great nation. I'll bless you. I'll make your name great so that you will be a blessing. Abraham was blessed to be a blessing. Same with us. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you, I will curse. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. So there's something here specifically about honor. It's not saying they're better than anybody. It's just, they're worthy of honor. So that's my heart today. Would you be willing to honor Israel, to honor the Jewish people? Not because of they're worthy of it, but because it's what the Word of God says to do. And I believe there's an alignment. So as we land this plane, I just want to give you one other aspect. I mentioned it earlier in Romans 1:3-4, it talks about Jesus was descended from David according to the flesh. And then in chapter 9, it's verse 5, it says, to them belong the patriarchs, the fathers of our faith, and from their race, from the Jewish people's DNA, their race, according to the flesh, is the Christ. Jesus is Jewish, is man, fully man, fully God. He's Jewish. We need to honor that. For all eternity, when we see Jesus, he's going to look Jewish. He's going to still have this nail scars in his hands, his feet, and his side, the spear wound, but he's Jewish. We need to get used to this. And then you look in Revelation 21, it talks about the new Jerusalem coming out of heaven. All eternity, we're going to be meeting with Jesus in the new Jerusalem. No need for the sun to shine, the moon at night. It's the glory of God's going to light up. I mean, are you looking forward to this? This is our reality. For all eternity, we're going to see Jesus forever. And as we go into the new Jerusalem, it says, you go down to, in the verse 11, it talks about it had a great high wall, verse 12, with 12 gates. So to go into the New Jerusalem, there's 12 gates to get in. And it says, on the gates, the names of the 12 tribes of the son of Israel are inscribed. For all eternity to go see Jesus, you're going to walk through a gate, and then above it, it's going to say Judah, Levi, Simeon, Asher, Gad, Reuben, Zebulun. Like, you're not going to get away from our Jewish roots and our Jewish forefathers. For all eternity future, you're going to see the 12 tribes of Israel to go see Jesus. And when you see Jesus, you're going to see a Jewish man. This is your Savior, Jesus. Do you understand that? It shocked me when I was started meditating. I'm like, what? I thought he looked like me.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, that's good. But you know what? God looks like me. The Father looks like each one of us. That's good enough for me. So I'm a co-heir with Jesus. And then it goes on in verse 14. It says, and on the wall of the city of this New Jerusalem where Jesus is going to rule and reign on the throne, it says it had 12 foundations. And on them were the 12 names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Simon, Peter, all the 12 apostles' names are beyond the foundation stones, all Jewish. We're not getting away from this. It's our past, it's our Savior, it's our future. Let's embrace it and not replace it. Man, that was a good one. I didn't plan that. Come on, Holy Spirit, stand up, everybody. And we're gonna end here. I just want to pray. Practically speaking, you know, it's the Word of God says, "I will bless those who bless you." It is very practical to act. Blessing is active, and the word blessing in the Hebrew means something tangible. It means to show favor. So, and then the scripture talks about giving. What we receive spiritual blessings from the Jewish people, we owe it to them to give them material blessings. That's Romans 15, 27. Psalm 122, 6, I love how Jimmy brings that every Sunday. It just says, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. I love what you're saying. You know, I say yes. I pray the Prince of Peace rules in the hearts of everyone in Jerusalem with the gospel of peace going in. But that praying. And so I just want to commission you right now and for you to just between you and the Lord, say, Lord, what would my role be to bless? Is there any way I could bless? Even just, we have the power of life and death in our tongue just to speak life. When you hear the anti-Israel, anti-Semitic narratives all over the sound waves or even in the supermarkets or wherever you are, to just say, I bless Israel. Or even to tell people, I remember when I first got this, I'm like, I love Israel, I bless. And people, why? Did you know this and this? And I say, because the Bible says to. Well, why? Because God says to. I just want to be on his side. I don't need to argue with you and convince you. I just need to be obedient. Just like everything else I do, they don't understand because I'm obedient. So if it's just words, if it's prayer, if it's giving, and then finally it's going. You know, the Bible says that God's going to use the Gentiles to provoke them to jealousy, and we have to go. So I want to invite you. We're going a couple times a year on tours, and then we're doing probably three times a year on missional trips to Israel. And if you, we'd love for you to come with us. Dawn and I are going this October. Still have a few spots. But we want to go and just physically be there. Just stand in the land and bless it. So I'm going to pray and just ask the Holy Spirit to speak to you what he would have you do. So Abba, I thank you so much for this morning. I thank you for the Bridge Church. Lord, I thank you for the leadership here and the life that's in this body. The alignment that's in this body, the honor that's in this body already. So I just bring this message as part of the affirmation of what's already happening here. But I ask God, would you touch each individual this morning and just give them a nudge, Holy Spirit, of what's one thing they can do? What's one more thing? Some of you do the prayers every Sunday. Is there one more thing God would have you do? Some of you have given funds, you've partnered, you've prayed. Is there one more thing? It's just the next thing. What is the next thing? So I just say, Holy Spirit, would you do this? And would you give a grace that there would be no pressure, no obligation, but there would be a joy and a moving. As you said, you will move our hearts to obey you. So I bless you this morning. As I pray that same prayer Dawn did, I'm always visioning a father holding a newborn. You know, they say that identity is released from the face staring at a child. And I always picture the number 6 prayer as a father just looking down at a baby child. And I pray this morning the Lord would bless you and keep you. He would hold you tight. And he would make his face shine on you. That's the giddy smile, radiating smile looking at you. And he'd be gracious to you, give you power. And then he would lift up his countenance, his face upon you again. Double portion favor. Double portion joy of who you are as his beloved son and daughter. And he would give you his securing, protecting, providing shalom, his peace. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Lord bless you. Thank you.
How about one more time for Dawn, Papa Dawn, Todd, Donna being with us? We just welcome them into our house, into our lives, into our family. Listen, as we go, we're going to have some prayer team members right down here. We want to pray with you. So if you have prayer needs for any reason, feel free to come forward and just come and just shake a hand and say, hey, I need prayer. Also, the team will be down here if you want to stop by and just say hello and welcome them and just affirm your love for Israel, for our foundations and our roots. That'd be a blessing to them. You guys have an amazing week on purpose. Listen, I'm not dismissing you, but I am commissioning you to go and leak out the life that's in you. God bless you. Have an amazing week on purpose.